Yes, soon this waiting hour on time's swift wing shall flee. Soon he will come in glorious power, Jesus himself for me. The truth of the Lord's return from heaven, called the second coming of Christ, has always been the hope of the believer. We read from the earliest writings of the Apostle Paul, from the Epistle to the Thessalonians, that the preaching of the gospel always included the message concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we read in verse 9 that they, that is the Thessalonians, themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus which delivered us from the wrath to come. The same gospel which set them free from idols and turned them to God, which caused them to serve this one, to love this one, who was revealed to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. That same message caused their hearts to burn with the desire to wait for the Son of God from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was here 2,000 years ago and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, is coming again. As we referred to the scripture last week, we again mention it. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That same one shall appear the second time, apart from the question of sin, unto salvation. He's coming to rapture to himself those who are his own. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we notice the words of the apostle, which were a direct revelation from the Lord to himself, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. From these scriptures we see that the message of the coming again of the Lord Jesus accompanied the proclamation of the gospel, which tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again from the dead according to the scriptures. From Acts we noticed last week that he went up from the Mount of Olives, and there were two that stood and told the disciples, "This same Jesus which ye have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he also spoke of this hope of the Lord's coming in these words. He says, "For our conversation," or it is a word that could be translated citizenship, "our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body," or body of humiliation, "that it may be fashioned like unto his own body of glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Yes, we look for the Savior. Everyone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again awaits the moment when he shall see him. This is our hope. Paul, in writing to Titus, speaks of it as that blessed hope, that which is the hope of the believer, to be raptured to meet the Lord in the air, to have his body changed into a body such as Christ now has in glory, fitted for glory, for heavenly conditions. At that moment also we know that the dead bodies of the believer shall be raised and changed, and we shall all rise to meet our Lord in the air. And there we shall be with him, transported into the Father's house, to be forever with the Lord. One loves to speak of this. One anticipates it with fervent expectancy that it may be even today. Our Lord Jesus Christ promised, "I will come again." And in the last chapter of our Bibles, three times it is repeated, "I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly." And then the third time, "Surely I come quickly." And the response is from those that love him, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Those who know the Lord as Savior and are living today have a heart that beats with a desire for his return, and surely respond with those words found in the last book of our Bible, the last chapter, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The Lord Jesus speaks of his coming, and he tells us in parable what his coming will be like and the results of his coming and how to be made ready for his coming. I would like to speak of this today and would ask that you would turn to the 25th chapter of the Gospel by Matthew. The Lord, when he was here, spoke often in parables, and this is one of them that portrays his coming again. In the 25th of Matthew, verse 1, we read, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." The kingdom of heaven is an expression found in Matthew's gospel that depicts the sphere of Christian profession. And in the sphere of Christian profession, we have that which is real and that which is not, those that are truly the Lord's and those who are the Lord's only by profession, those who have been born again and those who have not. All, however, take the ground of being a nominal Christian, either through baptism or joining a church, some profession being made. But in this sphere of the kingdom of heaven, which is likened unto 10 virgins, we have it divided into 5 wise and 5 foolish. So you see that the two classes give us really what is true in regards to the classification of all men in their relation to God today. And my hearer is either in one of those classes or the other. The whole world is divided into one or the other. In other words, he is either saved or he is lost. He is either wise or he is foolish. Now you will notice that the feature that marks them out as being in one class or the other is found in verse 3. "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." You will notice that they all had something in common, and that was that they all had a lamp. A lamp in Scripture signifies a profession, holding up a lamp. In other words, this is what I adhere to. This is my belief. But you'll notice that there's something more required if one is to be in a vital relationship with God, if one is to be ready for the Lord's return. It's not only important that you have a lamp, but that that lamp has been filled with the vital supply of power. Those that were wise took their lamps and they took oil. Those that were foolish had their lamps, but they took no oil with them. The Word of God is very clear as to explaining the various symbols used in Scripture. When you turn to the book of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah, there is no doubt that the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. You can turn to it at your leisure. Read the passage. You will find how this is so. I state it briefly here, and simply showing that the necessity for one being ready for the bridegroom is that he has the Spirit of God. The wise are those who have oil and are a picture then of those who are born of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus in the 3rd chapter of John says, "Except a man be born of the Spirit," the water in the Spirit. The water suggests the Word of God, the cleansing agent, the Spirit of God, the power. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And that which is born of the Spirit, then, is that which is born of God, and it has a divine nature which pleases God. And when one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, the Spirit of God takes up his abode in that believer. It seals him, or I should rather say, he seals him. For the Spirit of God is not an influence, though he does influence. He is powerful. The Spirit of God is a divine person. He is just as much a person as the Father in the Trinity, or as the Son. He is the third person of the Godhead. In Romans chapter 8, we read the necessity of having the Spirit of God in these words, that it says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now the wise in our parable are those that have oil. And they are those then who are picturing the individual believer who has received Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read this in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Now what we're trying to seek to show here is that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is then that you receive the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of God, and are thus linked with him. You are in the company of the wise. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Having believed in Christ as your Savior, you are sealed. The moment that you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again and the Spirit of God indwells you. And Paul says, what, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and ye are not your own? So a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today is one who has oil in his vessel. The professor, regardless of how religious he may be, how punctual he may be in performing the ceremonies, how active he might be in work, so-called church work, regardless of all the activity or the profession that the lamp that he holds up signifies, if he has not been born of God, he has not the Spirit of Christ, he has not oil in his vessel, and hence he is among the foolish, and he is not ready when the bridegroom comes. Going back to Matthew 25, we'll notice in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And you know, beloved, this was true as we look back in church history. Since the dispensation of the church began after the Lord ascended to heaven and the Spirit of God came down and formed it on the day of Pentecost, there was for a time fervent love and zeal. But then, as history tells us and shows us, and as the scriptures themselves prophesy would be the case, the whole church of God on earth fell asleep. The dark ages set in. And then we know that the Lord wrought a work of reformation when the Spirit of God brought out of the darkness the attention formed once again, and the desire to look into the scriptures was there. The Spirit of God worked in the truths of justification by faith, and the true gospel came out through men like Martin Luther and Zwingli and Wesley and so forth. And after that, we know the Lord worked again, and the cry went out afresh. Behold, as we read in verse 6, the bridegroom. Attention was turned again by the Spirit of God, to the sleeping saints, shall we say, to the fact that it had always been in Scripture, but saints had overlooked it. The Spirit of God had brought attention to the fact that Christ, who was here, was coming again. And hearts were turned to search the Scriptures, to see whether these things were so. And they found that the Old Testament Scriptures not only pointed to the first coming of Christ, but to his coming again to set up his kingdom in righteousness. But he must suffer first before this would take place. And then in the New Testament scriptures, they found that over 300 times mention of the second coming of Jesus Christ was made. And hearts were turned to wait for him, to look for him, The signs of the times before he came were pointed out. Scripture was turned to, and souls were moved. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, was the cry, and there was a response. Go ye out to meet him. And since that time, the last 150 years or so in the church's history, there has been the cry of the Lord's second coming going out in the preaching of the gospel. And beloved, the time of Christ's coming is very near. What happened? Those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And we read, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Evidently, they had the wick burning, but you know you can't maintain a light on the wick. You must have a supply. And you cannot get salvation from anyone save he who gives it without money and without price. And so the wise say, go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. The wise would have the foolish still go to headquarters, so to speak. Go to the one who can give life. He alone can give the Spirit of God. And he gives not the Spirit by measure. The Spirit of God is God's gift to those that accept Christ. You want oil? You want that vital link between you and God? You must come to Jesus Christ in repentance of your sins. And he invites you to come. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Buy suggests a transaction that you must make between yourself and God. You won't have to pay for it, though, because it's without money and without price. Jesus paid for it at Calvary. It's all paid for and available to you on the basis of faith. But you notice there's one thing we read here, that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Oh, what a solemn thing this is. I believe that there will be many when the Lord Jesus comes who will be unprepared. Many who did not think they would be unprepared. Many who have been deceived. Self-deceived, no doubt. Oh, it is true that the devil can influence, and he does. But one thing I want to remind you of is the devil cannot affect anyone who has his faith in God and his word. No, he can't. He cannot blind the eyes of those that believe. He cannot. It's just the eyes of those who believe not that he blinds. And I would say to you, beloved hearer, in all the earnestness of my soul, that if you want to be ready when Jesus comes, you must be ready in time. And the time to be ready is now. Because when once the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door, you that have known all about him, you've been active in church work, you've taken the Lord's name upon your lips, you've perhaps taken communion in the sacrament, you've been baptized and all this and yet never been born again. The Lord Jesus said those will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, beloved hearer, this is something solemn that God wants you to consider now. The bridegroom is coming someday. Only those that are ready will go in. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Only those that have been born again, born of the Spirit, that have oil in their vessel, that have received the Spirit of God through trusting Christ and thereby are linked vitally with him in heaven. Is this your case? If it is, you're ready. If not, you are not ready. He said to those that came, Lord, open unto us, they asked. He said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Oh, how solemn to think of it. Does the Lord know you as one that has come to him? I'll tell you this, that if you've come to him and been born again, he has your name on the family register in heaven, and he knows you. And he says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. But if you have not been born again, he does not know you. Oh, think of it. And the Lord Jesus himself is the one that gives these verses to us. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour. God grant that you might be ready should he come today. I trust that he will come today. He may come today. But I trust with all my heart that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be made ready so that you can come into the marriage along with the rest of the wise.